is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
We love free agency on Fantasy Football Today, and Dave loves making silly faces into the webcam. That was
what are you talking about?
That was very strange. Very strange.
I think what's strange is your opening. I'm sitting here looking normal, staring out the window, getting ready for the podcast, and you're making up stuff about my face.
I was making. I don't know about that.
Jamie, was I making faces?
I don't look at you.
Yeah, I mean,
I can just not look at you then. I guess could be the solution.
I mean, that's what my wife does, and things work out fine at home.
Yeah, all right. Good strategy. So welcome to the show, everybody. A lot going on, obviously. We're recording this at 1:30 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, which means a lot more is going to go on. We might be able to do another podcast tomorrow, or if we don't, we'll get to it next week. As we speak, I'm sure some news will be breaking, but some of the things we'll talk about, Brandon Marshall, DeSean Jackson going to the Giants and the Bucks, respectively, Pierre Garçon to the Niners, a lot of wide receiver news here is the Saints are probably going to sign Ted Ginn, which could free up a trade for Brandon Cooks, or, you know, involving Brandon Cooks, obviously. Torrey Smith to the Eagles. Somehow the Rams think Robert Woods is very, very valuable and worth $15 million guaranteed. What else we got? Quarterback news with Kirk Cousins, Tyrod Taylor, Mike Glennon. Remember him? He's in the news. Let's start with some buy or sell. I'll start with, well, I mean, obviously with the Giants, right? I think it's actually worth it, though, this time. All three Giants wide receivers, including their newest one, all three Giants wide receivers lose value with the addition of Brandon Marshall.
Sell. It's not true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not.
Well, to break it down for me.
Let me ask you this, Adam, but before you answer that. Are we giving Brandon Marshall his value from where he was at the end of last year with the Jets, or where he was when he had a good quarterback play, when he had a good quarterback play 2 years ago?
Yeah, okay, let's say we're giving Brandon Marshall his value based on the mock drafts we had been doing when he was still on the Jets.
Yeah, he's going to move up.
Yeah?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Where was he drafted?
I'm going to tell you.
I kind of hate it for all three of them. Right now, I'm not sure how I feel. Like Brandon Marshall might be just not so great, and it might not make that big of an impact. But I kind of hate it.
Let's start with the obvious, which is Sterling Shepard is going to go from rookie receiver darling and touchdown guy to afterthought. Now, maybe he still comes up with 7 or 8 touchdowns, but I don't think anybody's going to feel very confident drafting him with all these other weapons in the offense. And the weapons aren't just Odell and Brandon Marshall. You still have Paul Perkins, as of now, in the backfield. You still have Shane Vereen. He could take away some touchdowns. The tight ends can take away touchdowns. So it's really a horrible spot for Sterling Shepard, who really didn't do anything wrong to get this. This is just a matter of the Giants filling a need in a major and certainly convenient and cost-effective way with Marshall signing, what, 2 years, $12 million? Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good deal considering what some of these other receivers have been getting. And I'm of the belief that Marshall is way better than the numbers he put up last year.
Okay.
You put him in a situation last year where he was double covered a lot of the time with a quarterback who is as good as Ryan Fitzpatrick and as bad as Bryce Petty. And he's not going to do anything. His catch rate was 10 points lower than it was in any of his previous seasons. His targets per game, I think, was the second lowest of his career. I think he's better than what 2016 showed us, and I think he'll prove it this year with the Giants.
The thing about Marshall is, first off, he went in our last draft in round 5 and the draft before that round 6. That's exactly where he's going to go now. So I don't anticipate him going higher than round 5. Anybody that does that is making a mistake. The thing about Marshall is he's never shared the field with a receiver that's better than him. Every time he's been on a team, I don't know his rookie year with the Broncos, so I'll take that out of the equation. But from his second year until last year, he's been the best receiver on the field. That's not the case right now. He's never been the second most targeted receiver on the field. So his stats are going to naturally not be the same as they were when he was at his peak with a better quarterback situation than what he dealt with last year. So the same is true for Beckham. He's never had to play with a receiver of Marshall's caliber. Victor Cruz has been the most experienced guy that he shared the field with, and you know, you could say Sterling Shepard maybe at this point in his career is has a chance to be as good as Brandon Marshall. I don't think that's true, but potentially skill-wise and just when you factor in age and all those things, could be something that's comparable. I think Marshall's is going to finish, if things go right for him, he should finish anywhere from 20 to 30. So he's going to be a number two, number three receiver, depending on where you end up drafting him. There's plenty of potential there for him based on the type of receiver he is when he's healthy, when he's right. I think the floor for him is what he did his last year in Chicago when he was hurt and he played 13 games. He got you 8 touchdowns, 700 yards and 60 catches. I think that's the floor. I think the ceiling is nowhere close to what he was in 2015 or his first year with the Bears. He's probably going to have to score a lot of touchdowns to be a very good fantasy receiver.
All right, Sterling Shepard last year was the number 34 wide receiver in standard, number 30 in PPR. He did catch 8 touchdowns. That was his strength. 65 catches, 683 yards, not very good. Now the catches are okay, the yards not great, whatever. He's a rookie. And 8 touchdowns. So you gotta figure that could be in jeopardy. What about Odell Beckham? I know that, Jamie, you moved Beckham from number 2 wide receiver to number 3 wide receiver.
Yep.
Is he still a stud in your mind, like clear cut first half of the first round pick?
Without a doubt. Okay. He should be still a top 7 overall pick.
Dave?
Beckham? Yeah, I don't see him quite that way. I think he could lose some touchdowns because of Brandon Marshall playing on the other side. He's been a great red zone threat to this point in his career. He's never played. We talked about Brandon Marshall never playing with a number one receiver. Odell hasn't really played with a receiver like Marshall opposite him. Look, I think Odell's going to be fine. I think he's still worth a first-round pick. But as of now, I've got a couple of receivers ahead of him. The receivers I'm a little worried about, like A.J. Green, not sure how good he's going to be if Andy Dalton's running for his life because that offensive line is going south in Cincinnati. And Mike Evans is going to be ahead of him for me.
Even with the addition of DeSean Jackson, which is kind of the same thing?
Yeah, I don't think it is. I don't think DeSean Jackson's a red zone threat like Brandon Marshall is.
No, but it's still a receiver that's going to take production away from the number one guy.
Whose value increased?
I think Marshall's going to take more production away from Shepard than he will Odell.
Whose value increased more, Jameis Winston's or Eli Manning's?
I think Jameis, just by nature of, you know, being an ascending player as opposed to Eli, who, even though he's getting better weapons, is still going to decline just based on age.
Right. Okay. Let's do another buy or sell. Buy or sell, well, let me frame it first as this. Martellus Bennett last year was the number 7 tight end in fantasy. He had 55 catches for 701 yards and 7 touchdowns. He's not going to be back with the Patriots, most likely. And now Dwayne Allen is a Patriot as they acquired him from Indianapolis. So Martellus Bennett was number 7. Buy or sell, Dwayne Allen can be a top 10 tight end this year with the Patriots.
Are we assuming that Rob Gronkowski is A, not going to play this year, or B, not going to be a Patriot this year?
No.
Because I think that's the only way Dwayne Allen even sniffs that.
Okay.
I don't think he's as good as Martellus Bennett. I think he's a capable replacement as a number 2 guy. He's more like Scott Chandler. Remember Scott Chandler when he was the Patriots' number 2 tight end? He was awesome. He was good for like 6 touchdowns a year and like 400 yards. That's Dwayne Allen. That's him.
Okay. I just want, like, it wasn't like Bennett started crushing it after Gronkowski's injury. You know, he was struggling himself.
When has Bennett ever crushed it?
Every October.
Well, September.
I mean, every September, yeah. All right, so we're selling that. Next up, Jack Doyle, re-signed by the Colts for 3 years, $19 million with $9.5 million guaranteed. Jack Doyle has a better chance of being a top 10 tight end than Dwayne Allen.
Easy.
Oh, yeah. I we've talked already this offseason about how there's 10, 11 tight ends that are sure to be there, and then that 12th guy is going to be whoever you think is the best streamer for week one. I think Doyle has entered the conversation of being part of that group that's better than streamer.
So let me
I wouldn't be surprised if Doyle's better than, you know, an injured Tyler Eifert at this point.
Let me do a different one. Jack Doyle has a better chance of being a top 10 tight end than Julius Thomas.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if Thomas is healthy, he'll be close.
So give me your thoughts on Jack Doyle, Colts tight end.
I mean, it's the same thing that we've talked about for the last, what, 4 years, that when there's been one guy not named Dwayne Allen, he's been really good. You know, Kobe Fleener was that guy for the most part.
Right.
Last year it was Doyle when Allen was hurt. This is an offense that, look, there's a, you know, we're talking about this. We don't know where Alshon Jeffrey's going to go, but there's a report out there that the Colts are looking to acquire Alshon Jeffrey. Because
that's what they need.
Because
that's what they need. They need a receiver.
They can take one in the first round.
That would change things, you know, dramatically for this receiving corps if they had, you know, basically three top flight guys with T.Y. Hilton, Alshon Jeffrey, and, you know, if you want to put Dante Moncrief in the category, but certainly be a playmaker, that would hurt Jack Doyle. But, you know, if it just stands as it is right now with Hilton, Moncrief, and Dorsett as their top three receivers, and then Jack Doyle at tight end, then Doyle's got an opportunity to be a top 10 guy.
All right, next up, buy or sell. Jameis Winston should be drafted ahead of Philip Rivers next season.
Well, what are you talking about? Philip Rivers, the greatest quarterback of all time, and now my close personal friend after we met at the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, you're going to be able to say this? Should he be ranked ahead? Should Jameis be ranked ahead of Philip Rivers?
100% yes.
Jameis is a top 10 quarterback for me.
Was that before?
I think I have him 11th, but I'm right there with you.
What changed? Like how much did it change with DeSean Jackson going there?
He's thrown for 4,000 yards each of his first two seasons, and I think we're looking at a guy that's going to continue to get better. Clearly, this move to add DeSean Jackson is hopefully more trust from Dirk Koetter and the coaching staff in Jameis Winston. They now have a field stretcher who, last year, DeSean Jackson led all receivers with at least 35 receptions in terms of yards per catch. And clearly, you look at what his career has been in terms of his 50-plus yard touchdown. So the Bucs were severely lacking that, and now they have this. Cameron Brate's going to continue to get better. Mike Evans is still a stud. And as of right now, their starting running back for week one is Jacquizz Rodgers. So I think Jameis is a guy you have to look at. Like, I moved him up to 9th. So I have him. I dropped Kirk Cousins out of my top 12 because that thing just seems like a mess to me. He's ahead of Dak Prescott. He's ahead of Mariota. He's ahead of Derek Carr. I think Jameis Winston has an opportunity to. He was a top 12 guy last year. I think he's an easy top 12 guy again this year with what they put around.
Where are you drafting him?
Late still. I mean, I'm not going to reach for Jameis. You know, he'll be in that group of guys that if he's there at, you know, the round 8-plus mark,
right,
is where I'll start to consider looking at
him. I always love it when you say late and then you say round 8-plus because it's like the back half of the draft. Like, there's a whole half of draft that happens, like, in round 8 and on. But I don't disagree with you. I think round 8, round 9 is the time to target him. And I don't think you have to draft a second quarterback with him. I think he can be your only guy to begin the year, particularly if he has some good matchups to start the year. There are some tough games on the Bucs' horizon. They've got the Giants. They've got the Patriots. I'm trying to remember all of them off the top of my head. I'm going to have to look at my notes. But they've got some tough matchups. The Vikings, the Packers, both of those on the road. There are going to be some tough games ahead for Tampa Bay. But for the most part, on the surface, you look at what they've got, you have to feel real good about DeSean going there.
You look at the quarterback rankings, and I know that they're very close, but I don't know. I couldn't take Winston over Derek Carr. I almost feel like this podcast was too low on Derek Carr. And I feel like I was always defending him. I think that guy, I think maybe it's the broken leg that's a factor again, you tell me, but I think Derek Carr is awesome, potential superstar as soon as next year, and it's not like his weapons are bad, so. You know, it's splitting hairs a little bit. I would take Carr over Jameis. Dave has it that way. Jamie does not.
Yeah, no. I mean, I want to see Carr healthy. I don't have a problem moving Carr ahead of Winston when I see, you know, Carr 100%.
Okay.
And if they add Martellus Bennett, that certainly will be a big weapon for them.
Who do you like better, DeSean Jackson, the Buck, Brandon Marshall, the Giant?
Marshall for me.
Marshall, that's close.
Okay. I want to say something about Brandon Marshall, who's going to be 33 years old in 2 weeks from today. Happy birthday. The guy I always come back to is how can you perform at age 32 or age 33 is Reggie Wayne. And just to give you an idea, Reggie Wayne in his career at age 32, he was outstanding at one of his best seasons. Not in terms of touchdowns. He only had 6, but he had 111 catches, which was a career high, and almost 1,355 in yards, 1,355. His third age 33 season in 2011 was not a very good one. The targets were way down, 75 catches, 960 yards, 4 touchdowns. I don't remember the circumstances, but we were probably wondering, is Reggie Wayne done? He bounced back in his age 34 season with 106 catches on 195 targets. That's a ton. But 106 catches, almost, oh, again, 1,355 yards, same as two seasons prior. And he only caught five touchdowns. But still, I mean, 106 catches, 1,300 yards at age 34, probably should tell you that Brandon Marshall is not too old to put up big numbers. After age 34, though, it got pretty bad pretty quickly.
34 was 2012 for him?
Yes.
Well, that was the first year with Luck.
Okay, but the second year with Luck, he was... Or did Luck get hurt that in 2013? No, Luck didn't get hurt.
No, Luck played a full season. The 2011 year is when Manning was out.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, that makes more sense. All right, so back to buy or sell. Buy or sell.
I think just in terms of Marshall, you got to worry about is we've seen it with Larry Fitzgerald. You know, it's been a slow decline, but there's been a decline. You've seen it with Andre Johnson. You mentioned Reggie Wayne. When these guys start to get into their early 30s, unfortunately, it's not like you know, quarterbacks, which make it to almost 40. It's not like running backs, which, you know, tend to peter out, you know, at right around 30. It's usually that 31 to 34 year marker. And, you know, we talked about this with Marshall when he left the Bears and he had that monster season with the Jets. But at some point he's going to have a decline. And if it's steep, then you just don't want to make sure you reach for him too soon.
Sure. And Larry Fitzgerald did just play his age 33 season and he led the NFL in catches with 107, but he wasn't really that good. Andre Johnson, age 33 season, was disappointing. A lot worse than his age 32 season. 1,400 yards to 936 yards. Again, I don't remember the circumstances, 2014, but a big drop for him.
The thing about it for Marshall is he's more like an Anquan Boldin type guy, you know, where the way he'll make plays is not going to be because he's beating you with the speed. He's going to beat you with his body.
Let's go on our next buy or sell. Buy or sell, with the addition of DeSean Jackson, Mike Evans is a second-round pick.
Nope. Still taking him in round one.
Yep.
Did you drop
still
him at
a top
all?
Five receiver.
Did you drop him at all in the overall rankings?
Nope.
No. I didn't do it either. Because I see him as the bigger threat in the red zone than DeSean Jackson.
Okay, well, you know my argument. I don't know how much I believe it, but I've been saying it a lot in six games with single-digit targets last year, Mike Evans scored 15 points twice, which is amazing. He scored four, five, or six fantasy points in the other four games. So, you know, fewer targets, worse production for Evans, and now you've got DeSean Jackson there. But Jackson's not like a huge target guy. You know, he's...
Well, I mean, define huge. He had 100 last year.
That's significant, but...
Right, I agree. Like, Evans had like 180 last year. He had a monster amount, and so what they're trying to do is ease the work on him a little, but ease the pressure and the defense coverage on him a lot. And they're going to accomplish all that with DeSean Jackson.
All righty. Next up, buy or sell, new Chicago Bears quarterback Mike Glennon is good.
So.
This is a fantasy podcast?
No, yeah, it doesn't matter. Is he good?
Sell for both.
Yeah, he's not great.
It's a one-year deal.
It's a big one-year deal.
$15 million.
Yeah.
Well, what option did the Bears have? They're going to keep Cutler when no one's coming to the stadium to see him play or to see this team play? Or are they going to sign somebody to what amounts to being a little bit more money than what they would have had to pay Cutler this year to have a change and say, hey, look, we're trying to change everybody. Come out and see the team that's changing. Yay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. 2013 was Glennon's rookie season with Tampa Bay. Look, he had a pretty good rookie year, 2,600 yards in 13 games, but 19 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and 83.9 passer rating. Like, that's pretty encouraging if he were a bigger prospect. And then he just kind of stagnated after that. Maybe was in the wrong offense. We'll see what happens. There's a lot more to be determined for the Bears this offseason. So we'll talk more about that situation. And final buy or sell, and then we'll get into the rest of the news and notes. Buy or sell, Todd Gurley's fantasy stock rises with the Rams signing offensive tackle Andrew Whitworth.
So. I think Gurley's still back end number one, high end number two running back that has a chance to be drafted, should be drafted somewhere in the middle to the end of the second round.
Dave, buy or sell?
Yeah, I agree with Jamie. It's a nice move, but to me, tackles are more important to the quarterback than they are the offensive or to the run game. He'll help, but he's not going to, wow, now everything's going to change with Todd Gurley. It's how he's used. It's what's around him. It's what the philosophy is. Like, all that stuff has to change. Making a move and adding a veteran offensive tackle isn't going to make, you know, sunshine and rainbows for Todd Gurley.
Well, then buy or sell, Jared Goff just became a sleeper.
Who's he throwing to?
Does it matter?
Sell.
All right. So the rest of your news and notes, you can email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Hope you've been enjoying all the off-season podcasts. We are enjoying doing them. And, yeah, make sure you're listening to Fantasy Baseball today. And go ahead and play Fantasy Baseball. Go to cbssports.com/baseball, and you can sign up for some Fantasy Baseball leagues. Some are free, and some are pay. Also, I don't know if you guys remember the fun we had with this last year, but last year we did a March Madness bracket challenge with listeners. All listeners of all CBSSports.com podcasts. We had over 700 last year. I want to get to 1,000 this year. So tune in. And for you fantasy baseball podcast listeners, if there's overlap, whoever's leading at a certain point, I think going into the Sweet 16, you're going to get entry into the podcast league. But either way, it's just for fun. It'll be free. I'll talk about it again. I'll send out links on Twitter. But we want you to sign up and compete against us in the bracket challenge. Quarterback news. Kirk Cousins reportedly wants a trade. The Redskins don't seem at the moment to be willing to do that. I'm hesitant to talk about it because I think so much could happen by the time this podcast gets published and listened to. But, you know, Jamie mentions he already moved Kirk Cousins down to 14th. Dave still has him at 9th, but it's all up in the air right now with Cousins and the Redskins.
Dave's not going to have him at 9th much longer.
There you go.
Because he lost to Sean Jackson. It's a big negative impact for him.
And Pierre Garçon.
Well, sure. It matters, right? Garçon had 1,000 yards last year. Now, it's nice that he still has Jordan Reed and Jamison Crowder, but Josh Doctson is going to have to pull a big-time rabbit out of his Achilles to make Kirk Cousins very relevant again.
Okay, Buffalo is bringing back Tyrod Taylor, who was the number 18 quarterback last year with the 25th most pass attempts. Is there any reason to believe this year will be different for Tyrod Taylor? The Bills just do not throw the ball. Haven't, at least in their old regime.
Well, I think you look at it. He was 17th the year before, and he averaged just under 22 fantasy points a game that season. Last year, he averaged right around 19 points a game, and he did that with Sammy Watkins playing 8 games. The year before, Watkins played 13 games. So I think it tells you how important Sammy Watkins is to this team. I think Taylor is in that group of quarterbacks, like we talk about all the time, that if you get past, you know, the top 10 or so, and somebody else starts taking two quarterbacks in your league, or you just want to wait and wait and wait and wait, he's going to be serviceable enough for you. I think he had, in the 15 games that he played, he had 10 of 17 points or more in a standard league with 6 points for passing touchdowns. So he didn't kill you. He only had 5 games where he really hurt you. So is he close to the Aaron Rodgers group? No. Is he in the Jared Goff group? No. He's right in between, and he's good enough to help you win some weeks. He's a great streaming option, and when the matchup's right, I think he's good.
I like the new fit of this offense with him. This is the old Gary Kubiak, Mike Shanahan, West Coast bootleg, move your quarterback around offense. And I think that fits Tyrod Taylor pretty well. Can't stand his receiving core because you've got Sammy Watkins, who knows how healthy he'll be. He could be ready to go at training camp. Who knows if he'll be as healthy by week 6. And it just doesn't seem like there's anything else there.
Yeah.
Very discouraging.
They lost Robert
Woods.
Now,
this is a team that needs to, you know, do something in the draft. You know, it would be fun to see them, you know, kind of, they don't have the picks, but to take the Cleveland approach last year where they drafted 4 receivers throughout the course of the draft. They just need bodies, you know, and hopefully good bodies, because Marquise Goodwin's gone, Robert Woods is gone. So, you know, they're down. I believe they tendered Marcus Easley, but he's obviously not been the guy that they hoped he would be. So it's tough. It's tough. You know, to ask Sammy Watkins and Charles Clay to help a quarterback get better when you have a very good offensive line and one of the best running backs in the NFL, that still kind of tells you what their, you know, mindset's going to be. Walter Powell right now is their number 2 receiver.
So Chicago will sign Mike Glennon and release Jay Cutler, according to Adam Schefter. And San Francisco is signing Brian Hoyer. By the way, you know, you guys talked about the NFL draft. We're going to have an NFL draft expert, one of our CBSSports.com guys, on hopefully next week. Somebody who's at the combine can talk about the running backs, quarterbacks, wide receivers, whatever we need to know. David Njoku, I'm sure, will come up many, many times. But Brian Hoyer to the 49ers. Your reactions, fellas?
I would like him to be a backup to Kirk Cousins.
Okay, well, look, this team needs a lot more than just Brian Hoyer. They also are bringing over Pierre Garçon. Garçon was 17th in catches last year and 16th in yards. So, yeah, he should finish around top 20 at wide receiver. No, Pierre Garçon finished 36th at wide receiver in standard scoring leagues because he only had 3 touchdowns, but played pretty well last year. They released Torrey Smith, who signed with the Eagles. Hoyer's, for wide receivers, I feel like, and he's got familiarity with Kyle Shanahan. He played well under him in Cleveland, right? He's got to be an upgrade over Kaepernick, just as a passer, I would think.
The last time that Garçon was the number one receiver for a Shanahan, he was a very good fantasy receiver. It was RG3's rookie year. Yep. And so, you know, this is an offense. And, you know, we talked about this with Kyle Shanahan when he went to Atlanta. He features his number one guy. It was Andre Johnson. It was Josh Gordon. It was Julio Jones. Obviously, Pierre Garçon is not in that caliber of receiver, but he could easily be a number three fantasy receiver with Brian Hoyer alone. And so this move is very good for him. And I think it's good for fantasy too.
Well, which quarterback has a better history of just peppering a number one wide receiver than Hoyer? Like, Hoyer has given us two top five wide receivers, right?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick. Okay. But Hoyer's given us Josh Gordon and DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, wait a minute. He had Josh Gordon for like 3 games.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, he gave us DeAndre Hopkins, damn it. And those 3 games were probably awesome.
And he didn't even have DeAndre Hopkins for the full season because he missed time during that year, too. So, sure, in the, I don't know, 9 games that Brian Hoyer is going to play, maybe he'll over-target Pierre Garçon, and that'll help increase his profile in PPR leagues. Garçon's proven it. When he gets volume, he can be very good for PPR and better than pedestrian for standard.
And that's your quarterback news. Running backs, nothing huge here. Buffalo's going to sign Mike Tolbert, and I don't know if it's even more official now. They're expected to sign fullback Patrick DeMarco. And San Francisco giving Kyle Juszczyk a huge deal. How does that change anything, if at all, for Carlos Hyde? Is that better for Carlos Hyde?
Yeah. It's good for Carlos Hyde.
Okay. Hooray.
I mean, you're giving him another. I mean, I don't know the specifics about how he's run with fullbacks versus without.
Well, none last year.
Right. That's just not the way that offense runs. But you can go back to his days at Ohio State. Hopefully, he's benefited from having a fullback. Usually, having a fullback is good for a running back. Usually, having Kyle Shanahan as your play caller is good for you if you're a running back. So this should only enhance Carlos Hyde. Maybe it takes away a couple of catches because that's what Juszczyk can do.
Well, speaking of catches, Danny Woodhead to Baltimore. So who's most affected by this deal? Danny Woodhead going to Baltimore. Is it somebody on Baltimore? Is it somebody on San Diego? Who's most affected?
Well, it's great for Melvin Gordon.
As of now, I mean, look, they're not done adding. I believe they are going to allow Brandon Oliver to leave, who currently was their backup. So they're going to add a running back somewhere, whether it's in the draft or, you know, signing somebody. They're not done. So, it certainly helps Melvin Gordon because you saw what he was able to do without Danny Woodhead. So we'll see who they bring in. You know, if it's somebody of the variety like, Fozzie Whitaker, for example, who was released by the Panthers, you know, just
he re-signed.
He did?
Yeah. Oh,
I'm sorry.
But don't be. Fozzie's rich.
Somebody waka, of that. Waka. You know, caliber, like, you know, like the Giants bringing back Orland Dark, but, you know, one of those type of guys that's just there for break glass in case of emergency, but not very good. So we'll see who it is. But yeah, this is that's a win for Melvin Gordon. I think the biggest winner, obviously, is Joe Flacco because he gets a weapon who's been, you know, clearly a benefit to his quarterbacks every time he's been healthy.
So looking at all the wide receiver news, right? Yeah.
There's still Kenneth Dixon to discuss, too.
Please, by all means. Then we'll get into the wide receivers.
Yeah, I wrote the story on Woodhead, so I went back and listened to what Harbaugh said about Dixon at the combine. If it just stays like this, just with the group that they have, you know, because there was some talk that they were going to, you know, maybe be in on one of the rookies, which could clearly still happen. But if it's just like this, I think Dixon still could be good. You know, you go back to when Ryan Matthews his last year in San Diego and Woodhead was great. It was 20 before he had his ankle injury. So 2013, Matthews was a very capable, you know, fantasy running back, and Dixon has clearly a lot of upside and showed that he could be, you know, good when given work. So, if this is going to scare people off Kenneth Dixon, I think they're going to make a mistake.
So, wide receivers, a lot's gone on. We talked about Brandon Marshall. We haven't really talked that much about Garcon. DeSean Jackson was getting rid of Marshall and Jackson, the two big ones. We got Garcon to the Niners, LaFell back to the Bengals, Torrey Smith, 3-year deal to the Eagles, Bryce Butler re-signing with Dallas, Robert Woods, 5 years, nearly $40 million, $15 million guaranteed with the Rams.
He's a great blocker, Adam.
Is he?
Yes.
Okay, great. So the Dolphins resigned Kenny. I mean, come on. Are you serious? How is that?
To be fair, this is the franchise that just made Kenny Britt a 1,000-yard receiver for the first time in his career.
This is a really bad signing. Like
it's awful.
I remember a year ago, I said Travis Benjamin was the worst signing. I think I said he was the worst free agent signing. And I feel like I'm going to be pretty vindicated on that. This is worse. Robert Woods with $15 million guaranteed for a 5-year deal with the Rams.
I don't care about how much money he's making. I care just about whether or not he's going to help me in fantasy. And we're talking about Robert Woods. 3 career 100-yard games. He's played 4 seasons. I think he's had like 10 touchdowns in his illustrious career. Yeah, this is exactly what the Rams need to turn their offense around. This is it.
Well, they need a wide receiver.
No one's drafting Robert Woods in fantasy.
No. All right, and no. Kenny Stills back to the Dolphins. Kenny Britt going to Cleveland. And New Orleans looking aside Ted Ginn, and still waiting for them to trade Brandon Cooks. All the wide receiver news, is there one or two or three or four or six or ten or whatever that really stand out to you as big winners or big losers, polarizing one way or the other? Not polarizing.
I'm wondering if the door's open for Terrell Pryor to be a big winner. Because by Kenny Britt going to Cleveland, it seems like they're trying to make a swap there, that they'd rather pay Kenny Britt than they would Terrell Pryor. Pryor might have been asking for too much money. So I wonder if there's something there for Pryor if he leaves and joins another team where he ends up in a much better situation than with the Browns.
So all the guys that actually signed somewhere, I asked for the biggest impact, and you you went with one that's still a free agent. And,
well, he's still in play, and I can't wait to see where he signs.
Okay, well, what about Garcon? Like, could he be Garcon or Sterling Shepard? Who are you taking?
Garcon or
Jordan Matthews, now that Torrey Smith is an Eagle, if that makes any difference.
It's still Matthews for me.
It's Matthews now. If Cousins ends up in San Francisco, it'd be Garcon.
Yeah, I mean, is there anything else? Like, what do you make of the Dolphins signing Kenny Stills?
I think it's great for their offense. I think it's good for Tannehill. I think it's good for Stills, who can, you know, keep doing the big play thing. It makes me nervous about Devontae Parker, though, because now the pressure will continue to be on him to step up or else. They were able to get by with him not being a consistent difference maker last year, and they'd roll out there with Stills playing more than Parker. Parker really has I almost feel like it's a make or break season coming.
Well, I mean, we talked about this before. It is a make or break season for him because his rookie deal is going to be up and they have to make a decision if they're going to try and extend him. They have to extend Jarvis Landry after this year. So I don't think this really has an impact on Devontae Parker. I think the only thing that has an impact on Devontae Parker is Parker. This doesn't help Parker to the extent that it would have if Stills left. And they were talking about Leonte Carew and maybe the third guy. But Stills, as great as he was last year, had 9 fewer targets than Devontae Parker. They want Devontae Parker to be great. And so if he has the ability and the wherewithal to understand his circumstances and steps up in his third year, which we've seen before from guys of his caliber, I think Devontae Parker is the better fantasy receiver going into 2017.
Well, Stills coming back, he had a huge finish for them. He caught 6 touchdowns in the last 8 games, including a touchdown in each of the last 4 games. But you know how it's going to be with Kenny Stills. That is not going to be reliable. That was also Matt Moore taking over for the last 3.5 games, so Moore seemed to like Kenny Stills quite a bit. I will not be drafting. 14-team league, I'd be drafting Kenny Stills. I think that's it for me. How about you?
Yep, I want no part of Kenny Stills. Last year he was, you know, I was talking about him in the preseason because of how Devontae Parker's injury situation was going again. We'll see what happens at that point, you know, when we get there. But yeah, a guy who gets paid after a breakout season, same reason I don't want Kenny Britt. You know, you've heard me talk about this for years. Guys that get paid after, you know, these huge, especially touchdown related seasons, I want no part of them.
So what about Torrey Smith going to the Eagles? And, you know, Smith in his career has only had one season with more than 855 yards. However, he did have 7 or more touchdowns in 3 of his 4 seasons with the Ravens and then was not good with San Francisco. Not necessarily his fault. That's, you know, that was like the Robert Woods signing before the Robert Woods signing, except Smith's better player. What do you think about Smith? Like, is he even worse than Kenny Britt and Kenny Stills or what?
Yeah, he's worse. Unless he ends up being the lead guy in Philadelphia and he gets a lot of targets. The one thing that I noticed with Torrey Smith is that in Baltimore, he'd have a decent amount of targets every year. And 3 of the 4 seasons, he had over 800 yards. The other season, he had 11 touchdowns. He'd find production, but it was an offense that suited him. He was in a role that was very good. And he kept getting those opportunities. In San Francisco, the last 2 years, he didn't have anywhere close. He averaged 55 targets per year with the Niners. Now, there's news coming out now that could dramatically put I don't know how dramatic it's going to be because no one's excited about Torrey Smith, but it looks like Alshon's leaning towards signing with Philadelphia.
Ooh.
According to ESPN. So if Alshon's that number one guy and Jordan Matthews is in the slot, Torrey Smith's going to be... He'll play, he'll be relevant, but he's not going to be what he was in Baltimore. So to answer your question, Kenny Stills and Kenny Britt, by default, I would take ahead of Torrey Smith.
Now, is Ted Ginn, if he's on the Saints, which looks like he will be, is he better than all of these guys, better than Stills, better than Britt, Ted Ginn?
Really curious about just how big of an opportunity he'll get there. Like if he's truly going to play in Brandon Cook's old role, and see the majority of that playing time, he might be. He'll be the most frustrating receiver to own in fantasy because you'll watch him get wide open on a downfield bomb from Drew Brees and he'll bobble it. And you'll lose your fantasy week by 3 points and you'll blame us and you'll blame your family and you'll blame your dog. I've done that before.
You know what? You know what? I got another take on this whole situation. The fact that the Saints are willing to trade Brandon Cooks, I don't think I've brought this up yet. It does, in my opinion, speak volumes about what they feel, how they feel about Michael Thomas. They must think that this kid's very legit.
He is. You watched him play. He can do a lot of things very, very well.
Okay.
Great size, great speed, or not great speed, good speed. Huge catch radius, and he was able to absorb so much more of that Saints offense than anybody thought he could.
Trivia question. You just said good speed. Trivia question. What movie is Stanley Goodspeed from?
The Rock.
Yeah, I knew it was Nicolas Cage.
Good job. Way to go. Yeah. Jamie's the winner. Tight ends. Jermaine Gresham back to Arizona. Vernon Davis back to Washington. And we talked about the Colts-Patriots tight end dance. Are Jermaine Gresham or Vernon Davis fantasy relevant?
The only way Davis would be is if the Redskins move to a 2 tight end formation almost exclusively.
Well, no, that's the less realistic scenario.
Oh, it's the only way that's realistic is if they can't find receivers
to replace
Deshaun and Garcon.
Vernon Davis is going to be relevant when Jordan Reed gets hurt. That's what you should have said.
Well, of course, that goes without saying.
Oh, okay, without saying. And, oh, you know, forget it. Never mind, not important. So offensive line stuff. Just a look into the mind of Adam Azer. Completely random stuff pops in, and he decides, I'm going to say the one about The Rock. I'm not going to say the thing about football. Denver is going to sign Ronald Leary, the offensive guard from the Dallas Cowboys, to a 4-year deal. Dallas, this guy wasn't even a starter for them originally, but then Lael Collins had a season-ending injury, and Leary played almost the entire season. So they'll just replace him with Collins, I assume. But you got Denver getting Leary. You've got the Rams signing Andrew Whitworth, the offensive tackle, and the Lions signing Ricky Wagner, who they're going to play at right tackle. Any major impact here with these signings?
With the Rams, while we were talking, there's word out of Los Angeles that they're going to move Charles Robinson to guard.
Greg Robinson,
which will certainly help that offensive line.
You'd hope so. He's been a pretty big bust, right?
Yeah, but actually when he's had to play guard, he's been better than when he's played tackle by far.
All right, that would help. That would be nice. And Leary and Wagner, I mean, yeah, it would be nice if the Broncos upgraded their offensive line. Then I could get excited about C.J. Anderson again, of course.
Well, it's also potentially a recruiting tool to get Romo.
Oh, it's not a bad point.
Although, now it looks like Romo might get traded.
Really? They were going to release him.
There's a report, we'll credit it to ESPN, saying that they're now expected to trade Tony Romo to either the Broncos or the Texans.
And Houston made headlines this week by re-signing their specialists, Nick Novak and Shane Lechler. Novak was the number 9 kicker in fantasy last year. If he had scored 5 more points, he would have been the number 5 kicker in fantasy, so it was very bunched up. And guys, that's all I got in free agency right now. Maybe we'll have
what
another.
What about Steven Hauschka? Nothing there?
What, re-sign with Seattle?
Nope, he's going Buffalo. To Buffalo.
Really?
Yeah, Blair Walsh is your kicker in Seattle at this point.
Interesting. Hauschka's always been pretty good for fantasy.
Yeah, not anymore.
Stephon Gilmore to the Patriots? It's going to be nice for their defense.
Sure.
We can potentially do another podcast tomorrow. I hope there's a lot of stuff breaking news tomorrow.
I hope there is, too. It would be fun to talk about. It's making me want to get another mock draft cooked up here.
Yeah, we're going to do one as soon as free agency is like slowing down.
So, next week.
We'll probably wait to see like where some of these running backs land if you know we get news.
Not a peep about Latavius Murray. Nary a peep about Terrell Pryor.
Yeah,
Jamal Charles is potentially looking at the Seahawks. That'd be interesting.
Not a peep about Adrian Peterson.
Well, it's only Thursday, so we got time.
And free agency technically hasn't started yet.
Right. Exactly. All right, that's Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg. Every time a major player moves, changes teams, or even reassigns, they're going to write about it. I don't know if I want to put that pressure on them and say every time, but there's either going to be a video or an article about it, and you should check it out on CBSSports.com, CBSSports.com/fantasy. Get the instant analysis and reactions from Dave, Jamie, and Heath. We hope to talk to you guys tomorrow. If not, it'll be early next week. We'll be podcasting again, and I'll have time to read your emails. Fantasy football.
Oh, yeah. And there's one last one.
Ooh.
Vince Young to Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
He's a Rough Rider.
Yeah, good luck, Vince Young. All right, that's it now. Please email us, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. See you later.
Bye.